This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two is Sharp Money here on VSIN. I'm Jeff Parles. Amal Shah's here. Brian Ortega's here. We'll get to Josh Applebaum in a second. But Richard Jefferson on ESPN going full fashion statement with the sports coat with it doesn't look like any shirt underneath. That's the look we need you to pull off next week, Amal.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay gainfully employed.
On that note, Josh Applebaum with us right now. Of course, you can find Josh's work across the network, as always, on the tweets at Josh_insights, Morning Bets, Market Insights, the podcast names. Josh, don't you want to see Amal try to pull that look off, even if he may cost him his job? I don't think it cost you his job. I don't think it cost you a job, Amal. It's a summer. It's going to be 120 degrees on Monday.
No, I'd love to see that, guys. Great to be with you, Jeff and Amal. And I got a question for you guys. What are you doing tonight with nothing, literally nothing to bet on? Are you going to go do that thing you've been waiting to do forever? Or is there something in your life you've neglected? You've been waiting to call your mom, do it tonight. What do we do as sports bettors? There's nothing to get down on. I'm asking everybody, what are your plans tonight? How are you going to make the most of the deadest day of the year?
Amal, I'm assuming you're going to go play poker. I'm going to the movies tonight. I know that.
Showtime has a Wilt movie coming out or documentary.
Okay.
And so they've got a screening of it here tonight. So I'm going to go see that.
Okay. Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
See, I have an option for you guys to do something.
Go ahead.
So just came out on Netflix. I wasn't able to watch it because I watched Mission Impossible yesterday and forgot, but we can now watch Quarterback on Netflix.
That is the best way to get your sports fix. For
pretty
sure.
Jacked up about it.
Out available now over at Netflix. Speaking of football, Josh, because it is the deadest day of the calendar, let's get into some NFL season win totals. And before we get to team by team here, just what's your overall strategy that you use when you're looking at season wins in the NFL?
Yeah, so Jeff, I really enjoy betting futures bets. I mean, I think as a sports bettor, you look at it, you're grinding day to day, just, you know, okay, what are the games today? How can I find an edge? How can I hopefully make some money? But then also, I think you always have to have an eye to the future. And that's why we call them futures, because they're bets that, you know, we're not going to be able to cash on for a long period of time until the whole season ends. But I'll look at them as bankroll builders. I think also in the process of trying to bet a future, you do your own research and you kind of inadvertently do some homework and learn more about the team. So in a way, hopefully you cash your future, but even if you don't, you spent those hours, you know, researching the teams, coming to more knowledge about these teams. And then, of course, hopefully cashing in the end, whether you cash today or 6 months from now, you're still going to cash. So my strategy, guys, is I try to completely put my bias to the side and I go off of what the data is telling me. So one advantage we have here is getting a lot of this information from DraftKings and BetMGM and all the major sports books, telling us not only where these win totals open, but how they moved. And then what I like to look at is the betting percentages. So for example, what I like to do is first pay attention to the juice. Now the juice, I think a lot of bettors is just, hey, this is a number. It stinks. We have to pay it. It's a tax. It's an extra payment, which is all true. But also remember that the juice also gives you a little bit of a clue. It's going to tell you which way the wind is blowing, depending on which side is juiced up. And also comparing the betting percentages to the juice movement. So for example, guys, let's say you open 7.5 win total, -110 both sides. Now you're 7.5 over -120. Okay, scratch your head. What happened there? Well, likely you took some respective money over. And then ideally, if you can get a low bets, higher dollar bet split of, like, let's say you're getting 40% bets, but 70% of the money to the over. That's kind of my thought process overall. Obviously, it's an inexact science, and then each team, you're going to apply some different variables, strength of schedule. If I'm going to bet something in the affirmative, a yes or an over, I want a team with a lot of stability, returning coach, quarterback. If I'm going to bet a no or a team to go under their win total, I'm looking for instability, rookie coach, rookie quarterback, a lot of turnover. But again, to me, it's a bankroll builder. It's an exercise in learning more about the sport you're going to get down on. But overall, it's paying attention to these market clues to hopefully cash a bet later in the year.
Yeah, Josh, you bring up some really good points in terms of how you break it down. Let's get into some of these teams here right now for season win totals. Let's start with America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. This is a team that's got a season and a half win total, I believe at 9.5 right now in the NFC East. Team that's picked to go second. Over is heavily juiced at DK right now, -155. If you like the under, it's +135. Where do you come out on this one?
So Amal, for me, this would be an over bet here. And I also mentioned, you know, 9.5 really juiced up over. Yeah. Some books even are at 10. So that's another part of betting these win totals, recognizing the fact that different books have different numbers. And if you bet an over 9.5, Cowboys win 10 games, you're happy you win. If you bet it at a book that's already at 10, you push and, you know, you're upset that you didn't win your bet. But couple market indicators to like this Cowboys over. One is the juice movement over the summer. Now the Cowboys open at 9.5 win total over -130. Now they're up to -150. We're showing -155 on our board. So right there, that's my first clue that a lot of respected money hitting these win totals. And again, this is a lot of wise guys who have mapped and projected these teams versus the public who's probably going to bet these games or bet these win totals a little bit later in the summer or closer to the preseason. But the juice has moved up. At BetMGM, currently 96% bets, 99% of the money is going over. So it tells me kind of a pro and Joe bet split. And then kind of speaking to the stability factor, you have Mike McCarthy going into year four, working with Dak Prescott, obviously. So you have the coach quarterback combination. You have a ton of returning starters. This Cowboys team has gone 12-5 the last 2 years. So can they, even if they take a minor step back, can they win you 10 games? And also look at the offseason. You know, you're leaning on Dak here, another year off from his injury. And then also, you know, turning the running back committee here over to Pollard instead of Ezekiel Elliott. That's probably an upgrade, how electric Pollard has been. And then also looking at your wide receiver core, you know, you had CeeDee Lamb. Gallup's great when he's healthy, but then also they bring in Brandon Cooks. That's a pretty good trio there of wideouts. And then also you bring in Stephon Gilmore to help your defensive core. So add it all up, guys. We got a juiced up over, pretty good heavy bet split to the over. To me, it's a play to make the take the over. I know the juice is a little, it kind of turns you off a bit. So high -155, but I would shop around. Can you find it closer to -150? I'm going Cowboys to win 10 games or more this year.
Another team with a 9.5, and that's the L.A. Chargers. Of course, Kellen Moore goes over from Dallas to L.A. to be their offensive coordinator. Herbert and company finally making the playoffs. A very unfortunate demise, to put it politely, for them against the Jaguars. Second biggest collapse in playoff history. They're also 9.5, Josh. Coin flip, both sides -110.
Yeah, so to your point, Jeff, this is also a shop around because some books are juiced up a little bit more. I'm seeing a couple 9.5. Over -115, -120. So we have seen a little juice liability here to the over, but to your point, find that book giving you the -110. Obviously it's going to minimize your risk, maximize your reward, but really good bet split on the Chargers to go over to win 10 games or more. They're currently getting 73% of bets to go over 9.5, but 98% of the money at BetMGM. So that's what I'm talking about. When I look at bet discrepancies and lower bets, higher dollars, that's a +25% discrepancy to the over. Now they go 10-7 last year. Obviously I don't love it when you're bringing in a new coordinator because I want, you know, the majority of the returning coaches and returning starters to kind of give you that stability. But even so, you're banking on Justin Herbert now going into year four. It's gotten better every single year. Staley now going into year three. And as much as we kick around Staley for making, you know, questionable decisions, going for two, going for it when he shouldn't, you know, those are the things that kind of annoy you if you're a Chargers fan. But he actually has gotten better. He was 9-8 year one. He was 10-7 last year. And then Jeff, you kind of mentioned the kind of the elephant in the room. This is also a thing with win totals and futures. What's your last memory of this team? It's that they blew this terrible lead. Well, you know, what were they up, Jeff? 28-0, 31-0. I forgot what it was. But you blow that lead, and the public remembers, man, the Chargers stink. They blew the lead in the playoffs. In a way, you can kind of buy low on that anti-Chargers, you know, last memory there. So again, it's another over for me, but it's checking off quite a few boxes. I like the Chargers to win 10 games or more this year.
Let's go to a team that I'm intrigued by where you come out on, the Seattle Seahawks. What are your thoughts on this team in terms of where they go? Last year, they finished, I believe, 9-8. They get into the postseason. They had a nice run down the stretch. Season win total sitting at 8.5, juiced to the over at -130, the under at +110.
So, Amal, this was actually one of the biggest win total overs from last year. If you remember, and shout out to our guy Mike Pritchard, because I remember we were talking about this one win total on VSiN one day, but the over last year, over under win total was 5.5. It was one of the lowest win totals in football. We expected this Seattle Seahawks team just to be one of the worst teams in football. Well, Geno Smith played pretty well. This is a guy who, you know, had high upside early, became pretty much a career backup. Then he got the opportunity to start again, had a career year, got a big contract. Now you have that experience and stability going into his second year as the starting quarterback. But just in terms of, let's look at what the data is happening here, guys. Look at the juice to this over 8.5. It opened the summer 8.5 over -120. Now it's minus 130. I see one book at minus 140. So you're getting a lot of respected money going over here. It's another heavily bet juiced up over, as well as betting percentage play. 90% of bets, 98% of the money is on the over here. And also leaning on Pete Carroll. I know he's prone to making mistakes, running it or throwing it when he should run it in the Super Bowl, but he's got a lot of experience. Geno Smith's going to work with him another year here. And then also they had a pretty good draft, guys. I don't know what you're going to get out of your rookies, but two rookie wide receiver Jackson Smith and Jigba, and the cornerback Weatherspoon from Illinois. If you get anything out of them and you're going to build upon what you found last year, to me, this is a play over here, guys. I'm on the over 8.5 Seattle.
Josh, we have about 90 seconds left. Let's go to the Bucs. Of course, win the division last year at 8-9. Brady retires. Todd Bowles is still there. Going to be a bad quarterback regardless. It's a 6.5 win total juice to the under here, Josh.
I'm going under with this one, Jeff. And this is actually matching one of my favorite betting systems, dog to fave line move, in a way. You saw it in the All-Star game, National League went from a dog to a favorite. It's one of my favorite systems in general. Take that smart money, pushing the dog to a fave. But now I'm going to apply it to the juice model. If you look at the juice on this 6.5 win total, to open the season, to open the offseason, it was 6.5 over minus 130. Now it's 6.5 under minus 130. So that is a massive, massive 60 cent adjustment there. I think the early juiced up over was maybe protection for Tom Brady. You know, he said he was going to retire. Will he not? They're just showing a little bit of liability over. But now with Baker Mayfield taking over, it's completely flipped. You have a ton of liability under. And currently you're getting quite a big bet split here, like 90% bets, more than 95% of the money to the over. So they're returning a lot of starters from the Super Bowl year. But guys, it's all about quarterback play. I don't believe in Baker Mayfield. I don't believe in Kyle Trask. And the market doesn't either. I'd go under 6.5 for the Tampa Bay Bucs.
He's Josh Applebaum. Again, you can find him on Morning Bets, Market Insights, both of those podcasts, of course, the book, The Everything Guide to Sports Betting as well. Josh, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for hanging out with us today.
Always a great time, guys. Enjoy the deadest day, the night of the year here tonight.
I think both Amal and I will be seeing different films, yep, as we said earlier. We're keeping it in the NFL. Better, worse, or the same next on Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are a lot of different sounds that you might hear. Drive too fast and you could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing, sound of ambulances and first responders desperately trying to free you from the wreckage. You could hear the beeps of a heart monitor. You could hear the doctors and nurses in an emergency room as you're being treated for your injuries. You could hear the sound of worried family members in the hospital waiting room hoping you're okay. You could even hear sound of people crying at a funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, whether by a lot or by a little, you could do damage that's beyond repair. You could seriously injure yourself, or worse, you could hurt or even kill someone. When you speed, you put everyone on the road at risk. One way or another, speeding catches up with you, paid for by NHTSA. Welcome back in. It is Sharp Money. I'm Jeff Parles. I'm Amal Shaw. Brian Ortega's here as well. We're going to go to Summer League in the next segment. Danielle Alvari over at Thomas and Mack Center are set over there. She'll join us, get some thoughts on the first half of the WNBA season, All-Star Game in Vegas on Saturday at Mandalay Bay. Also, her thoughts on some NBA off-season big picture things as well. Amal, let's go to the NFL though, and you know we're gonna let Ortega hop in here because he's the one who created this segment. So better, worse, or the same? And this might as well, to me, Brian, just been mentioned as better or worse. Because
fine,
I think you have a better or worse for all these. And Brian, wherever you want us to start. Want us to start with your Green Bay Packers?
Yeah, so let's jump into it. So this is better, worse, or the same. So essentially, this is teams that have had maybe a change in terms of the front office, the coaching staff, or even players on the field. So we'll start with the obvious one, the Green Bay Packers. They now have Jordan Love behind center. He's been there for a couple of years. So, and we've seen him a little bit in action. We saw him against the Kansas City Chiefs when Aaron Rodgers had to sit out a game because of COVID. And then we also saw him against the Eagles in garbage time, where he looked like, you know, the reincarnation of Joe Montana, if you ask anybody who covers the Packers. And this is my question to you. Do you think the Packers will be better, worse, or the same this season?
So their win total is 7.5. Their divisional odds is +475. I've said this a few times. So I go through, look through every single game, do it multiple times during the summer before I do my official one at the end of August after all the games have been played in the preseason. That whole division to me feels like it's going to be 9-8 or 8-9. Everyone in a division seems basically the same. Green Bay last year, 8-9 out of the playoffs. This would be the only one that I would look at as the same. Brian, that would be the only one that I would look as potentially the same. I do think Green Bay at 5-1, if you can get that to win the NFC North, is pretty good because all these teams are pretty similarly talented, and that's just the bet on Jordan Love being good. And if Jordan Love is good, Green Bay winning 10 games, which I think would be enough to win a division, squarely in play.
I don't disagree with any of what you said, but I think Green Bay is worse overall. I know last year they didn't have a great record, but you've got, in my opinion, the most accurate passer in the history of the National Football League. Burrow's incredibly accurate. Herbert's accurate. Mahomes is. But nobody can drop it in the bucket like Aaron Rodgers. He is absolutely unbelievable. In terms of sidestepping in the pocket when there's pressure, him and Brady are the best I've ever seen. And now if you got Jordan Love, I don't know on what planet or what you've been drinking if you think the Green Bay Packers are better with Jordan Love.
Here's the thing. I'm just going off of last year. I don't think they're going to be better. They might end up with more wins because the rest of that division is weaker than it's been. And I know that may seem backwards to some, where Detroit is the strongest they've been going into a season in a very long time. The Bears have the worst record in the NFL. Minnesota, we expect regression, but you know how this works sometimes in the NFL, Mal. You can end up with a better record with a worse team than you had the year before.
Yeah,
that
no
is
question.
Something that
no
I
question.
Think is in play for Green Bay.
Well, That I don't disagree with you on. I'm just saying big picture-wise. You know, you got to go back 2 years. Last year, they had a down year. There's no denying that. But overall,
one seed back-to-back years.
Yeah. Overall, I still think that until we see Jordan Love show he's an elite player, it's hard to back it in this situation.
Who's next?
Fantastic. I love both of your explanations. I think they were perfect. So I'm going to go out of order here. So
it
let's
sounded
actually
so disingenuous, by the way.
I don't know. The attempt to suck up, and it didn't really sound
like
it.
No, I'm serious. No, because I agree. So being a Packers owner.
Two times.
I had the same feeling when the Packers went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, although, you know, it's different situations, obviously. But I'm basically just like, show me I'm wrong is basically what it is with Jordan Love. So let's go with the Denver Broncos. They have a new head coach. Obviously, they were not very good last year with Russell Wilson, did not cook the way they wanted it to. Do you think that they will be better, worse, or the same this year?
So Denver is, to me, the one team in the AFC that I can't quite figure out going into the season of them all. I can't quite figure them out.
Yeah.
Because Sean Payton... I think Sean Payton made Drew Brees, not the other way around. I think part of the reason Brees is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer in Canton is because he had Sean Payton as his coach. Look what happened to him the year that Payton was suspended. They were an average offense that year. So I think Sean Payton comes in right away. He's a top three coach in the NFL. At least top five, I think top three. Russell Wilson was horrible last year. Absolutely, utterly horrendous in every aspect.
I object to one thing.
Which thing?
You saying Russell Wilson was horrible? That's insulting the word horrible.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I was trying to figure out where you were going with that.
I'm a huge Russell Wilson fan.
But when you have bottom four quarterback play like Denver did last year, you had a great defense. If they had an average offense, they're in the playoffs last year. Easily. Yep. They're in the playoffs with ease with an average offense. The question comes, there are two big questions here. Is Russell Wilson completely washed? And is Denver's defense able to still be a top 10 unit in the NFL? If the answer to the second question is yes, and the first one is no, Denver's going to be borderline playoffs to in the playoffs. But if the answer is no, yes to Ross being washed, or no, Denver can't be a top 10 defense and they're going to regress out, then there's no reason to think they won't be much better than they were a year ago.
I don't disagree with any of what you said. I think Sean Payton, maybe Shanahan is a better offensive play caller. I don't know. I think okay. Sean Payton, for my money, is as good as anybody in terms of coaching. He's right up there with anybody else anyone might select. I think he's tremendous. Here's the problem, though. I think Russell Wilson is done.
You think he's done?
I just don't see him being able to turn the corner, because the problems were not just the inconsistency in terms of passing, but decision-making, inability to scramble away. You know, the one thing that Russ did so well for a long time in Seattle was maybe QB waggle left or right, and then you see an edge rusher coming, kind of either duck under them, step up, slide step, whatever was necessary. And here's another problem Denver has. They've got him signed up to a long-term deal. And it's a lot of money. I mean, if Russell Wilson doesn't work out right now, boy, this is really bad for them in terms of how they proceed going forward.
They are, again, of all the teams in the AFC, because to me, Amal, Indianapolis, Houston, and the Raiders mm-hmm. are the only three teams that I'm going to say do not have a shot of making the postseason
yeah.
in the AFC. Denver can go any which way.
Yeah.
If you told me Denver pushed Kansas City and ended up with the 5 seed in the AFC, you know what? I'd listen to that argument. Yeah. I would listen to that argument. And if you told me Denver went 6-11, I would say, you know what? That makes sense too. They are the, of all the AFC playoff caliber teams, they have the highest variance of anyone.
I would agree with you, but are they the kind of the wild card? And I don't mean literally wild card in terms of getting in the postseason, but the kind of the wild card or the outlier that could kind of.
Sure.
I tell you, for me, the team in the AFC is the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, they're another team because of uncertainty at the quarterback position.
Well, look, I've never been as big of a Deshaun Watson fan as other people have, but when I looked at the statistics, I think I'm wrong on him. I think he's an elite player. And Nick Chubb is probably the best running back in the NFL. If he's not one, he's probably 1A or, 1B, so he's right there. They've got some talent. That offensive line is solid. They've got a couple of good pieces defensively, Garrett, Denzel Ward. I don't know. I think the Browns are a dangerous, dangerous team. Let's put it this way. The Browns championship odds in the AFC are 22-1. I don't think that number is out of line in terms of them potentially making a push. They're in that 9th spot if you look at it just overall in terms of the odds for the AFC. They could be dangerous.
To me, the AFC North, I think all four teams, if everything goes right for their teams,
yeah.
you could make an argument for any of them to win that division.
Pittsburgh?
I'm done down Mike Tomlin.
That's
fair. Mean, it just like that team was awful last year, and they still almost made the playoffs.
I heard TJ Watt's gonna start throwing passes because that's best player.
When TJ Watt's healthy, their defense, is gonna be a top 5 unit in the NFL.
It's funny. I'm a big Nick Bosa fan, but to me, when TJ Watt is fully healthy, he is the best edge rusher in football.
I don't even think it's close. I think just look at what Pittsburgh was with him and without him over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
They're top 5 defense with him. They're barely a top 15 defense without him.
Yeah.
The most impactful and the best. I think they go hand in hand on that. We're going to go to the Summer League next. Danielle Alvari, our very own Danielle Alvari, over at Thomas & Mack. Got her thoughts on the first half of the WNBA season and the NBA offseason as well next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today, and new customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus instantly. Use promo code VSIN when you sign up today. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions. Welcome back in. It's Sharp Money here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles. I'm Amal Shaw alongside Cosmopolitan man himself, Brian Ortega, here as well. But now with us, live from our set over at Thomas & Mack Center at the NBA Summer League, she is the host of Bet the W here on VSiN. It is our very own Danielle Alvari with us right now. Danielle, how you doing today?
It's very hot in Vegas. It's very, yes. very hot.
Yes, it is. It's only going to get worse. Sunday, we might set a record for the hottest day in the city's history, which is kind of scary. Not going to lie on that. It's kind of frightening that could actually happen on Sunday. 120 would do the job on that. All right, Danielle, it's the All-Star break on the WNBA side of things. Look, when we've talked over the last few weeks, the Aces are just a dominant force. They're 19-2 heading into the All-Star break. you look at the futures, you're laying prices basically everywhere on the Aces to win it all right now. Over at the DraftKings Sportsbook, they're minus 300, which is just a wild number midway through the season. Danielle, does anyone have a shot to realistically beat this team in a best-of-five series?
Well, some, like you said, they do have two losses, so two teams have managed to do it. But we were just talking about this on Hardwood Handicappers, how that was really a situation where the Aces were playing these road games and were so fatigued that they were really just on the end of these road stretches that these teams were able to catch them and actually do this. I think that Dallas, who is the team that most recently beat them, actually matched up very well with their size, with their speed, athleticism, the way that they can score. Dallas's defense is not going to match up as well, and we saw that in that very high-scoring game between them. But outside of that, we really talk about these top three, maybe four teams in the WNBA. I'd put Dallas around that 4 or 5 spot, probably the Mystics more like 5. But it's the Sun, the Liberty, and the Aces we're talking about. The Liberty are supposed to be, it was billed at the start of the season as the other super team in the league. And we haven't necessarily seen that come fully together. JVT was giving me a hard time because they have won 14 games and they have beat really good teams. And we haven't really seen, we've seen the Liberty and the Aces play already, but it was in a situation where the Liberty had this really bad travel day ahead of time, so I'm not sure if we've really gotten to see the full picture of what that could look like, but we are going to get to see it in the WNBA Commissioner's Cup game because it is going to be the Liberty and the Aces. It's very top heavy this year in the WNBA, as you mentioned, and the Aces are rightfully so. I mean, they returned just about everything from last year. Nothing got worse for the Aces, no category. They only improved, and it's to the point where now you're seeing win totals up for mid part of the season, and the Aces are at 35.5 for a 40-game season. It's insane.
It's a crazy number there, Danielle, you mentioned, but I'll tell you what, from a betting standpoint, I don't know if there's a better team in sports to bet than the Las Vegas Aces. Last night against the Sparks, they're laying 12.5. I thought the number was short because the Sparks are a terrible team. They lost 5 in a row coming in. And the Vegas Aces, they lead at the end of the first quarter, I think by like 16 points. They never, ever relinquish the margin of the spread. They're up 17, actually, at the end of one. From a betting standpoint, is there anybody in your opinion that is even worth taking a flyer on? I know you mentioned the Liberty, but I don't really see it in a finals matchup that they can beat them. And yeah, exactly, right? But right now the Aces are sitting at minus $2 and Liberty are only plus 265.
Yeah, I mean, again, like we talked about, the longer shots, the teams that I just can't even possibly get into the realm of possibility are the Dream and below, pretty much. The Sparks looked like they had a shot this year, but they've just had so many injuries. I thought the addition of Kurt Miller at head coach was going to be a big deal and a big change for this team. They looked good out of the gate, and then they've just had injury after injury, and they've just not been able to put it together. The Fever, huge step forward, more like a sixth-place team instead of a last-place team this year, but not a championship-winning team. The Dream, again, steps forward, more in the middle of the pack as opposed to the bottom of the pack. We have the Storm and the Mercury very much sitting at the bottom and just holding comfortable there. But as far as odds here, I mean, you have the Sun at 16-1, which is about around what you could get them before the season just tipped off. The Mystics were closer to 14-17-1. Now you're getting them at 22-1. I haven't seen anything from the Mystics that inspires me to think that they're going to be able to turn around this second half of the season. What's happened to them almost is similar to what we saw with the Aces last year, which the Aces still were able to go and win the championship, but they don't really have a bench, and so they're dealing with these injuries right now. Elena Deladon is out for 2 weeks. Shakira Austin has been out for a couple weeks and is out for a few more weeks with a hip strain, and they also have been battling issues with ankles with Natasha Cloud. So ankle injury after ankle injury for this team. So I can't really factor the Mystics in either. It's those top three teams, and really you're only getting a decent price on the Sun.
Yeah, to me right now, you mentioned some of the other teams, and I agree with your assessment. The league is a little bit top heavy with a couple of teams. I don't know. I think even still for me, guys, I would look at betting the Aces at minus $2. There's nobody that's going to stand in their way. And now the fact that they've gone away from the single elimination in the first round of the playoffs helps a team like Las Vegas immensely, Danielle. I just don't see somebody beating them 2 out of 3. I mean, it's ridiculous. If you look at the stats, when you look at this team in terms of what they're able to do, it's a joke that they're so dominant. It's not just Young. It's not just Plum. It's like, Wilson, okay, you're going to get 25 tonight? No problem. You'll go get – I mean, it's like they're so talented. They are just better than everybody else, and it's not even close.
Yeah, this was a stat that was in one of the articles I just wrote for the last games on Wednesday before the All-Star break, but the Aces played Tuesday night, recorded their 5th win this season by 24 or more points. It was against the Mercury. According to ESPN Stats and Info, the rest of the WNBA has 2 of these wins. The Aces plus 305 point differential, best through 20 games in WNBA history. This is just a historically good team.
Danielle Alvari with us right now, a host of Bet the W here on VSiN. Danielle, All-Star Weekend, the best betting opportunity of the year the last few years was betting Allie Quigley to win the WNBA three-point contest. That's not happening this year because she's obviously not in the contest this year. Sabrina Ionescu of the Liberty favored right now, plus 280. Jackie Young, plus 350. Sammy Whitcomb, I should say, plus 450. Kelsey Mitchell, plus 450. Carrington at 6-1, and Enrique Agumbalale at 6-1 as well. I think the favorite Ionescu is the bet here, but is there anyone else you would possibly look at in that market?
I don't know. If we're talking accuracy, it's Jackie Young for me. She's got the best three-point percentage in the league this year. She's taken a huge step forward where she's, you know, one of these top two scorers for this Aces team when last year that was not so much her role. So really great surge forward for her this year. I think Sabrina Ionescu is a name that a lot of people know, and they know her for her three-point shooting. She's had a lot of success. She's made the most threes, really, so far this year. But I look at accuracy, and maybe that's a little bit more favored in terms of Jackie Young. So Sabrina's been in this contest before, I believe, so at least there's a little bit of advantage there. But like you said, it is kind of sad for anybody competing because nobody, any year that Allie Quigley was competing, she won it. So are you really the best? We know it's Allie. It's still Allie, even though she's not playing this year.
Danielle is the best betting opportunity this summer. I mean, it was just year after year, year after year. It was just automatic money. Yeah. And then now Quigley not in this, as we know. Danielle, do you bet the All-Star game at all or just let it be?
I do. Okay. I do usually. I like to live bet this one. I'm sure you remember in 2021 there was that historic win total debacle where a total was hung that was very high for this game and everybody slammed the under. So we did not get that situation this year. But still, I feel like they've started to realize that this is a game that the players are going to want to show off a little bit more. So maybe we see these higher scoring situations. But I think that Team Wilson, Asia Wilson's team, is appropriately favored in this spot ever so slightly. But it could be a close enough game where if you're getting, I see that the number is at 4.5 in some spots, 5.5 in others. I'm going to look more at this tonight. There's going to be a Bet the W podcast where I break more of this down. But right now I'm thinking, I think that Asia's team should be favored, but maybe you take the points with Breonna Stewart's team.
I just want to go back to the three-point shootout. Look, for me, it's Jackie Young. You get a better price.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. It's not like she's only shooting 49%. So I don't know what is wrong with her, I mean, from beyond the three-point line. But here's the, more importantly, it's not like, Danielle, we're talking about one out of two three-point attempts. Okay. Like, she's shooting 5, 6, 7 three-point shots a game. This is not just, you know, sometimes you see some outlier stats, and they're very misleading based on what it's seen. And not taking anything away from Sabrina. She's a tremendous player. But I just think when you're looking at this situation, the way she's performed, to me, I would take the better price with Young and take a shot there.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I mean, speaking even further to that, true shooting percentage for Jackie Young right now, 69.7, insanity, second best in the league. So I think Jackie Young's a good price here relative to, I mean, she should be the short shot, in my opinion.
Again, right now at DraftKings, Jackie Young plus 350, your second favorite in the WNBA three-point contest. That is tomorrow at 7 o'clock Eastern over at Mandalay Bay. Danielle, before we let you go, just some quick things on the NBA. Do you think Damian Lillard is going to be a Blazer when the season starts, or do you think a deal gets done before the season gets rolling?
I think he's going to be a Blazer. They have no obligation to trade him. So it's, like I said, this really interesting era of where these players are demanding trades, and I don't know that they're going to necessarily be happy with what they get.
Right now at DraftKings, Damian Lillard minus 270 to play his next minute with the Miami Heat. You can still almost get 5-1 on Portland at plus 475. Again, she's Danielle Alvari on the tweets at her name, Danielle Alvari. Bet the W podcast, the name of her show. Danielle, one coming out for All-Star festivities tomorrow. So be on the lookout for that. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. Thanks for hopping on with us today.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Coming up next here on Sharp Money, you know, we're going back to the NFL. We only got through two teams in the last segment with Ortega. So we're going to go better, worse, or the same. A little bit more on the other side. Sharp Money, VSiN.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's always football season here at VSiN, which is why we've already released our NFL betting guide. And our NFL betting guide will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with in-depth profiles of every team, including advanced stats, proven betting systems and proprietary betting trends, plus best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Become a Visa Pro subscriber today for as low as $19. Get your digital copy of VSiN's NFL Betting Guide, or take advantage of our summer kickoff special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for $175. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Speaking of the NFL Betting Guide, that's where we go next. It is Sharp Money. I'm Jeff Parzamal, Shaw alongside Brian Ortega's here as well. So we did the Broncos and the Packers, and the better, worse, or the same. And Ortega, I want to keep it in the AFC West here. I want to go to the Vegas Raiders. Let's go to the Las Vegas Raiders. Amal, I think this has the potential to be one of the bigger disasters in the league this year.
I don't disagree.
So even with the talent that they have, there's some talent on the defensive side of the ball. We know Max Crosby is a stud. We know Devontae Adams, the top three wide receiver in the NFL. We know Jacobs was arguably the best running back in the NFL last year. But going into the season with what their quarterback depth chart looks like, and knowing what we've seen from McDaniels as a head coach in this league, Jimmy Garoppolo, we don't even know if he's going to be ready for week one. If he's not ready for week one, Amal Shah, here's the Raiders depth chart behind him. And it is frightening what is behind him. If you're a Raiders fan, you have Brian Hoyer behind him. You have Aiden O'Connell behind him.
I think these are great, great situations for the Raiders. You will ensure.
But you want bottom out.
You want to get Caleb Williams.
Yeah. You want to bottom out.
Or Drake May, whomever you like.
Chase Garber's also on the roster, who we saw in the final
Chase
week.
Chase Garber's the stiff from UCLA?
Garber's Cal.
His brother's the backup at UCLA.
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
I would not be surprised. This is how desperate I think things could get for Vegas. And look, I think there are three teams that are worth betting in worst rec in fewest wins markets. I don't think Arizona's worth it because the price is too short. Sure. I think Tampa Bay is worth it because Todd Bowles, I think, is the worst coach in the NFL, and he has Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask playing quarterback.
Have you seen Dennis Allen coach?
I think Bowles is worse than Dennis Allen. He went under 500 with Tom Brady as his quarterback. You know how hard that is to do?
Well, because nobody actually wanted to call Tom Brady out and say, dude, you're done.
He still was a top half quarterback last year. In a horrible division.
Top half of what? The state of Florida?
Oh, okay. All right. Fine. He was in the top half of the state of Florida still. But regardless.
He actually wasn't in the top half of the state of Florida. He was actually the bottom.
You think he was worse than
Trevor Lawrence and Tua?
You think he was worse than Tua? Because Tua couldn't stay on the field last year, Amal.
We're talking about ability. Just because you could roll Brady's old bones out there doesn't mean you want to.
All right.
What is this, like Ferris Bueller? Just roll her old bones out here and dig up your daughter.
We're taking like that a lot more.
He's a movie guy. I get the reference.
He's the most Ferris Bueller.
The most cosmopolitan guy in the biz. But Amal, the Raiders and the Titans, I think, are the third one that's worth the play in that. Even though I don't think they'll get there, that's one where the price, I think, fits, where you're getting mid-teens on them.
Yeah.
Because I could see a bottom out, especially if Tannehill gets hurt, and you're seeing Will Levis play the whole season, most of the season. But this Raider team, if Jimmy Garoppolo is unable to play more than half the games, you're going to have Hoyer, you're going to have O'Connell. Heck, they might even have to sign Carson Wentz. It's so bad, Amal. That's how bad it could get at the quarterback position for them.
Well, first of all, I would not sign Carson Wentz, but I agree with you in terms of where the Raiders could potentially be. That season win total at 7.5 is too high. Remember, Jimmy Garoppolo failed his physical. They're in a very competitive division. Real quickly, what do you think is the best division in the National Football League?
I think it's the AFC North.
Ooh, I disagree. I wasn't expecting the answer. It's a good answer, but I disagree.
I think the AFC North is slightly better than the AFC East.
I was going AFC East, yeah.
I think the AFC North top to bottom because I think Pittsburgh – the perceived last place teams, I think Pittsburgh's better than New England. Okay, that's the main reason.
There you go. I like that reasoning. Yeah, but getting back to this team, I don't think they're particularly strong. And by the way, Chase Garbers has as much business being on an NFL field as I do giving drink recommendations. And for people that don't know, I don't drink. So that's exactly why I'm saying that.
There are some people that say the Raiders will get better because they had that horrible record in close games last year and so on and so forth. The roster's worse. part of the reason that I thought they would get better last year is I thought the roster was much better than the year before when they were team luck box when they made the playoffs in the 2021 season. Then everything regressed back, and I was wrong. I don't think everything's going to regress back. And like you said, Garoppolo failed his physical. They have an out if he can't be healthy to pay him nothing if he's not healthy by August 15th.
Yeah, and I think they're going to exercise that. Look, if you're the Raiders right now, I think this is the most prudent move. You go get a kid from Southern California, plays for SC, he's out of D.C. in terms of Caleb Williams, assuming that's the guy you want to take at quarterback. I think he's worth the risk regardless of what transpires in 2023 for the Trojans. And you go get him and you bring him in. The excitement that would come here also, remember, you're going to sell out all the games in Vegas, so it's not as big of a deal, but you have a direct tie-in with Los Angeles. A lot of Raider fans there, a lot of SC fans, so... To me, this is the move for the Raiders. I am not interested in Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, you do have to get the bottom of the salary cap. You have to figure out how that works. But on a failed physical, I think they'd probably be they wouldn't necessarily be on the hook for something like that in terms of liability. So I'm not exactly sure how that plays out. But, Jeff, for me, it is time for the Raiders to go in the tank mode.
I don't have a problem with that. And we're going to learn early. Because the first 4 weeks, they have three very difficult road games. Mm-hmm. Denver, Buffalo, and the Chargers. And their first home game is going to be a Steeler home game here in Vegas for the first trip for the Steelers to Sin City since fans have been allowed in the building in Allegiant Stadium starting in 2021. All right, Ortega, do we do the Chargers here?
Let's go to the Chargers.
Chargers, you know them all. Justin Herbert throws the prettiest ball in the NFL.
Second.
Who's one for you?
Joe Burrow.
Okay. I'm not going to split hairs. Not going to argue with you on that.
I love Justin Herbert, but I also love Joe Burrow. Those are the future other than Patrick Mahomes, who is the man, but
Mahomes is one, Burrow is two in this league. Herbert, I like more than Josh Allen, but I think the city of Buffalo would come after me hard again if I said Herbert was better than Allen.
Why? What do you mean the city of Buffalo?
Because anytime you besmirch Josh Allen, the Bills Mafia goes nuts.
First of all, the Bills Mafia knows Justin Herbert's going to be a better long-term player. I'm telling you right now,
close.
We had this conversation in terms of the top quarterbacks. For me, it was number one, Mahomes.
Right.
Number two, Joe Burrow.
Yep.
Number three is Justin Herbert.
Yes. Okay.
And then number four, I would go Jalen Hurts, and then I'd go Josh Allen. Let me tell you, Josh Allen is not an elite quarterback without Stephon Diggs on the perimeter.
Well, here's the other thing with Allen. Well, you know what? We're going to hold this off because this is about the Chargers. This is not about Buffalo here. For the Chargers, I think Kellen Moore is going to help in a big way, Amal. Because, I don't know how good Kellen Moore is. But I know he's better than Joe Lombardi. Because Joe Lombardi had... Justin Herbert is the second shortest depth of target in the NFL last year, which is unacceptable with a guy of that caliber and that arm on him.
Right.
And at least Kellen Moore will look to open things up. Now it could be a little bit of an adjustment, and they have a very difficult game right out of the chute with hosting the Dolphins in week one and a tricky spot in Nashville in week two. But I think the Chargers... They are the seventh or sixth team in the AFC to me. They are a solid playoff team. If it wasn't for the strength of the conference, it would be an automatic playoff berth for me. I think they're 10. I think they're right on a number. I think 10-7 or 11-6 where the Chargers end up in 2023.
I tend to agree with you. I think they're still a very good football team. The problem with them has been the health of wide receiver. When you look at Keenan Allen and Mike Williams is a tremendous talent. But he is a guy that's been injury prone, even going back to his days at Clemson. He's got a big body. He can make some great catches. I think this team is extremely dangerous. Are you a fan of the head coach, Staley?
So it's funny because they make the playoff last year, and I thought Staley was worse in year two than he was in year one. Because when you have your identity, go full blown into it. Like, don't. Go ahead. Don't be wishy-washy,
right?
Which is what Staley was last year. He was wishy-washy. He didn't know what to believe. And for me, I'd like to see Brandon Staley go back to his identity, which is, hey, if the numbers say go, we're going.
Right.
Like, I'm good with that. And look, I don't, more times than not, them all, we know how the numbers work out. I don't think it's going to cost them games. I think really there were only two, there was only one call all of 2021 that is like, you can't do this. And that was the one in the final game of the season against the Raiders where they went for it on 4th-and-1 inside their own 25. That was the only one as like, you can't, you got every other one. I know it blew up in the Baltimore game against them and they lost that game in a blowout fashion because of it. I don't have any problem with those. They just didn't convert.
No,
it's going
to
happen.
I don't disagree with you. I don't. You know, I'd have to go back and look at every one of them, the situation and scenario, but still, you're right. The one in the Raiders game was very peculiar.
Well, we come back, sometimes known as Maolio. It's Vinny Maliulo, the Sports Betting Hall of Famer, joins us next.